What's up, everybody? You know what happens on Mondays, then now you get something from the archives. Enjoy this week's inspiring motivational interview, and we will catch you later on in the week as we start to share with you some of the best tools and tactics, everything having to do with sales. Let's go. Elevation Nation, I hear you loud and very, very clear. Last week, I uploaded a mini masterclass that I was very fortunate enough to be able to create with one of my friends and coaches, Coach Brian Fryer. And today, he asked me to go live in his Facebook group. And for 45 minutes, well, technically it was supposed to be half hour, but it went way over because of the response we were getting and the questions we were getting and how deep we were connecting. And the subject was this. The subject was how to excel and manage the emotional toll of leadership. My friends, it is not an easy time. Dare I say unprecedented. We've heard it again and again and again. But I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm so tired of everybody saying it's unprecedented, it's uncertain times, and nobody's saying how to mentally deal with it. But what if there were a way to understand how we are categorizing our thoughts so when a thought no longer serves us, we can flip the switch and make it serve us again? How can we get back into leading and impacting our people, our families, our teams, our mission on this planet? My friends, in this masterclass, I am going to upload the audio of this. You can get it absolutely no charge right now on kaylinellsbury.com if you want to watch the video. Just check out the Elevate Masterclass and learn how you can excel during the emotional toll of what's going on as a leader. So we call it the emotional toll of leadership, and it is coming at you in 3, 2, 1, it's go time. Hope you all enjoy. We are live and the crowd goes wild. Trying to figure out how to make this click. For some reason it's not working. All right, we got it. We got it. I see you. Hopefully you guys can all see me today. What day is it? It is Monday. Monday's always a good day. It is Monday. And I'm looking this up partly for me, partly because we've all been in quarantine and we have no idea what day it is. Monday the 27th. How exciting that we are all here and that we are about to learn something today that I believe is truly life-changing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and I'm going to tell you about what I learned along my story. And I'm also going to tell you a little bit about what you can be doing right now today to pick thoughts that serve you. And what do I mean by serve you? You may be wondering. Great question. Great question. We're going to get into that. It's going to be fun. So make sure you guys can see this. For some reason on my end, the screen keeps cutting really quickly. So it's a little difficult to tell if you guys can see this. And it's a great photo. It's a clear picture. Ashley, welcome so much to this live recording. Go ahead. Tell me what you do in the comments. That's always helpful for me. And I also want to know, you know, raise your hand if you are very familiar with mental mindset training. This can be cognitive behavioral therapy. This can be, I believe it's EDMR. This could be, that's so funny that you say you're good because for me, it's like you know, when you visit your grandparents' house in the 90s and the screen just fidgeted the whole time. That's what it looks like on my end. So thank you for letting me know that this is coming along loud and clear. Network marketing. Okay. And from what I understand, most of the people in this group are network marketing. So what I understand about network marketers is y'all are fierce. It's not for the faint of heart. Let's break this down. So why did you choose network marketing? That would be the next question. Hi, Cornelia. Welcome. Drop in the comments. Let me know why you chose your profession and what it is you do. So I am going to give you a little bit of background on why I'm speaking on this particular topic today and tell you a little bit about my journey in the hopes that not necessarily you can relate at all of it, but that you see some glimmer of who you are in my story and you can take the lessons and actually apply it. Because it does no good to sit on an hour webinar on a Monday morning if you end this and you're like, nope, didn't really learn anything, can't really do anything with this. So I was born with a condition called cystic fibrosis. Let me know if you've heard of it. It always helps to know how familiar people are with the condition. And cystic fibrosis is a very life-limiting condition. I spend anywhere from 2 to 6 months a year inside hospitals. And it started right when I was born, just six months straight off the gat. neonatal intensive care unit. And they had decided that my stomach's got to go. so to this day, I can't digest any food. I take up to 7 medications per meal to digest food. Years of malnutrition. In 2001, I was in middle school. I actually went into a diabetic coma for a month, and I was on life support, the works. They called in the pastor. They gave the last rites. And by will of God, and by will of the incredible healthcare team, I'm still here. They said I'd be in a vegetative state, definitely not a vegetative state. And it's really become a thing of like, what can the living learn from the dying? And that sounds dramatic. I know. I've studied drama writing. It sounds very dramatic. What the living can learn from the dying. And I spent my entire life trying to answer that one question. So much so that I wrote a book inside those walls. That book is now called I Am, The Untold Story of Success. It's an international best-selling book. And it's afforded me the opportunity to travel the world teaching executives, entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial spirits, if you will, what it is that you can learn inside of a hospital wall and apply it to your business for success. And so if any of you guys have health conditions, first of all, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to say goodbye to your friends in the unit because they're going down to the ICU, and we're studying right now with COVID ventilators. 80% of people who get on a ventilator don't get off. And unfortunately, I've been the patient where the nurse or the transport team will come back and they'll say, your friend did not come off the ventilator. And you know it. And you're just left in that ward wondering, am I next? Am I next? And yeah, depression, anxiety, all the things, they can rear their ugly heads. And in a lot of cases, there's no cures. There's nothing for what you do inside this chatter. So there was a time in my life when I did not like myself. If you look at my cover of my book, which I should have it right next to me, and I don't, so go team. You can look it up on Amazon. And I'll give you guys a number a little later on to text, and you can get discounted copies. I think they're like $8 right now. But I remember there was a time in my life where I didn't necessarily love myself. And I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was accepted. I was very lonely. And inside the walls of a hospital, y'all gotta get this. Like the nurses, when you're in an infectious disease unit, the nurses can't hug you. You don't get visitors. That's a luxury. When you have a serious lung infection, they just take their time going through your room, checking your treatments, hooking you up. And, they've always got compassion in their eyes. And yet, on paper, you gotta go, it's almost time to go home. Somebody else needs your bed. Like there's all these things that happen. And unfortunately, with my upbringing inside of hospitals, I've realized there are some patients who really go out and they make something good of their lives and in this world. And what good is our life if we're not using it to help others or to be a catalyst for change for others? And then there's other people who they're down, and maybe rightfully so. I'm not arguing against, what excuses you want to wear, but you guys wouldn't be network marketers if you didn't understand there was a bigger picture to life and there was a bigger calling to your life. And I'm going to guess, I'm just guessing, if I'm wrong, by all means, this is interactive, drop it in the comments. I'm guessing that the reason you chose what it is you do is you wanted to either help somebody or you saw the bigger picture of how you played a very important role in society. And network marketing, not an easy position. Let me explain that again. Network marketing, not an easy profession. Whatever you chose it, you didn't choose it because you thought it'd be the easiest thing in the world. I mean, let's think of it. So we've got a stigma. There's very much a stigma. Network marketers are all Ponzi schemes, right? I've heard that. If you haven't, sorry. That's I mean, just tell it like it is. That's what people tend to believe. Now, is that true? Not necessarily. But is it true for some? Yeah, there's always a couple bad apples that ruin it for the whole bunch. The other thing is you guys are used to constant rejection. That sucks. Nobody wants it, right? Whatever it is that you're selling, drop in the comments. Let me know what it is that you sell. And chances are you've tried to sell it and somebody goes, oh, not for me. Or good luck, but that's not for me. Even your family and friends probably don't want it at times, right? And so then it becomes, how do I deal with things like rejection? How do I deal with the lonely nights? How do I deal with having such an ambitious goal and not knowing if I'll reach it? Where's the uncertainty factor? Our dreams lie here. Our potential lies here. And most times we can never get them to intersect because it's what happens up here. I'll say that again. Our dreams are in this hand. Our potential is in this hand, where we're currently operating at, our current potential. What lies here in that gap, to close that gap, is what's in your mind. So then the question becomes, as I'm sure, I have a 3-pound puppy who thinks it's totally appropriate to go out on the balcony right now and eat bumblebees, and she has like shards of bumblebee in her fur right now. I'll show you in a second if she comes any closer, but she's like freaking out. Okay, there you go. Bumblebee. Disgusting. She's happy. So the question comes, how do we deal with the emotional toll of leadership? Drop in the comments, let me know what it is emotionally that you're processing, where the most difficult part is, and I can customize this for you guys that are on. If you're like, you know what, it's just everything right now. What I would like to say to that person is, in times of serious struggle, we're in a pandemic, we know this, if I hear unprecedented one more time, I'm gonna lose my mind. It doesn't change who you are as a person. What it does is it lights up your baggage. How many of you have noticed that in the last couple of months, you may be overreacting to some things that you would not have normally overreacted to before? That's the thing about a pandemic. It lights your shit up. So what do we do with it? In the next couple of minutes, I'm going to walk through and explain to you how your mind actually processes information. And they figured this out in, I think, the 60s and 70s. That what they did is two brilliant people, three actually, went and they analyzed all forms of psychology all over the world. And they figured out, yeah, hey, what is it that they all have in common? Because isn't it true that there's more of us that have things in common with other people, even our enemies, than we do things differently? And if we can figure out the fundamental way for people and how they categorize information when it comes at them, that being said, what can we do with that? So if there's a problem or a thought that does not serve us anymore, how do we take that and use it as a catalyst for change? And this is what they found out. Oh, wow, I'm seeing all of your comments. I didn't scroll. Thank you. Existing team. Hey, happy coffee, Max. Green Beauty Skincare, Makeup Skincare. Hey, hey, Kaylin, thanks for being here. Brian, happy coffee. Okay, cool. This is fun. Now I know to scroll on comments, so keep them coming. That keeps me pumped up. You see how my body just changed? All right, so let's explain this. So you've got your mind. You also have something called your higher self. Your higher self is that thing that guides you. You know, some people, where are my faith-based people at? If you're faith-based, put it in the comments. And by faith-based, you know, I'm not necessarily meaning Christian. I know there's a lot of different faiths, so we're just going to go with the overarching theme of faith-based. And what I want you to consider is the higher self is that part of your unconscious that's faith-based. The higher self is the part that says, Kaylin, you've been eating a little bit too much sugar during this quarantine. Have soup for dinner for 3 weeks. Like, the higher self's always guiding you to make the right decisions. It's like a father figure. You know, it is, I happen to be Christian. So it's like the part of me that relates most to God. Okay. So you've got your unconscious and your unconscious mind, and then your conscious mind. Your conscious mind are the thoughts that you think about all day. If you're fairly familiar with the unconscious versus the conscious, drop me a comment so that way I know. If you're not familiar, cool, that's fine. We all start somewhere. I had no idea about any of this stuff when I started writing my first book. So what happens is at any given time, we have information coming at us. And our information is sorted through our senses. You know, and what's a sense? Okay, so a sense is your eyes for seeing, your ears for auditory. And then how many of you hear a voice inside your head constantly? That's something called your AD, your auditory digital. Side note for those of you nerds out there. For me, I was like, let's just stick with the five senses for now. So if you're like me, you're like, I don't need all that. That's cool. Just keep listening. So then the K is the feelings. Now there's two types of feelings. There's what we feel. I feel my Apple Watch, Fitbit. I feel my coffee. I also feel insecure at times. I also feel like, I hope you guys are enjoying this. So I can be feeling my coffee and also feeling a little like, oh, I hope they love this. And then your O, which is your olfactory, your sense of smell. And then your G, which is gustatory, for your taste. So you've got your five senses, okay? Visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, gustatory. Any given freaking time. You guys are cracking me up in the comments. You guys have about 2 million bits of information per second hitting you. So a bit is like the way that I'm looking at the screen right now, and it's all jarry. So I'm glad you guys said it's great audio quality. I'm checking out the comments. I'm checking out, the puppy, making sure she doesn't like eat a bee and sting her tongue, which she has done. So at any given time, I'm processing a lot of information, and scientifically speaking, there's 2 million bits of it coming at me per second. So our brain can consciously hold 7 ± 2 bits of information. A bit can also be that loud internal monologue, Brittany. So pay attention to that as we get going. This will help you out. Write out a problem that you're experiencing. You can type it on your phone. You can just write it out on a sheet of paper, or just think about it for a second. Just really think, what's that problem I'm experiencing? And when you think of said problem, I want you to associate what kinds of VAKOGs you're experiencing. So what is it about that problem that you see? What is it about that problem that you hear? What is it about that problem that you feel? What is it, are there any scents associated or any taste with that problem? When my fiance says, I'd love to go on a super incredible date with you, and I get really excited. And tell me if you guys relate to this. You get really excited for date night, you get dressed up, you do the makeup, and I know now we can't, but we can do our own version of date night. But you get really excited that he's gonna treat you, and then you find out he just wants to walk around downtown and get hot dogs off a cart. Like, I ain't doing my makeup for a hot dog off a cart. You know what I'm saying? So like I bring that story because if that was the problem, my fiance and I aren't connecting because he doesn't understand how like I feel loved by having certain types of meals on date night over a hot dog off a cart. Now I know how to process this. Okay? So any given time you're experiencing frustration, write out the problem in the way in which you're perceiving the problem using your senses. Now it's gonna get really nerdy. So where are my nerds at? If you're a nerd, put it in the comments because that's gonna help me decide how nerdy to make this, because I'm so freaking intellectual, and yet this took me years to figure out what I'm about to tell you. So you've got 2 million bits of information per second coming at you. You consciously can pick up on 7 ± 2 bits of that information. Some people pick up 5, some people pick up 7. On average, the amount of thoughts we have per day, that loud internal dialogue, if you will, you have anywhere from 30,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Shit, that's a lot. So you got to get in control of that. So the question becomes, how do you get in control? So what happens? You write out the problem that you're experiencing with your senses, and then you very clearly realize there's three things. You can't possibly keep track of all that information, right? 2 million, you get 7. So your brain does a few things to help you. It thinks it's helpful. Silly brain, you're not helpful at all. And when your brain thinks it's helpful, it does three things. It distorts, it generalizes, and it deletes information. So a distortion is like Chanel always has bees on her, but in reality, they're probably spiders from the patio. I didn't have time to look at what that particular leg was that was on her fur and pull it out and be like, oh, bumblebee. So I just distorted the information because of the purpose of the webinar. I'm like, I gotta get to the point. Generalize information means she's always bringing in insects from the patio. Now, let me ask you. Does this creature look like she's always bringing in creatures from the patio? No, she's too small. That's a complete generalization. And then a deletion is she never brings things in, or I never notice it. So if you're not noticing something, you tend to delete information quickly. And yes, you can, to look at this, you can delete the doubting voice in your head, and that's what we're going to get to. But the question you want to ask is not, can you delete the doubting voice in your head? The question you want to ask is, does that doubting voice in your head serve a purpose? Sit with that. So let's do a real simple one. And because I'm not, because I do not sell affiliate marketing, I'm going to give a lot of personal examples. And from that, I know you'll be able to glean what you need out of this. And if not, just drop it in the comments. Later on, text the word inspire to 66866. And I'll hook you up with all the answers you have. You can just, that opens up a dialogue with me. So, okay. So can I delete that doubting voice in my head? If it's not serving you, it needs to go, right? It's like a toxic relationship. And the way you do that is you first realize, okay, so we're distorting, deleting, generalizing these 2 million bits of information per second. We're consciously picking up on 7 ± 5. From there, it's creating something called a label. Now, how many of you guys have heard that neurons that wire together, fire together, or fire together, wire together? Think of it like grooves on a record. The deeper the record goes, the deeper those grooves go. That causes your attitudes, your belief systems, your religious views, your ways in which you respond to problems, right? Like how many of you guys, when you were in high school, to the females, to the ladies, you had this thing for skater boys or bad boys, right? We all had that phase. Okay, so the neurons of our brains have start to predispose us. It activates something in the back of our spinal cord called the RAS, Reticular Activation System. This is why when you buy a new car, you see said new car all over the road. So once that RAS is activated, and with you, Brittany, if it's doubting the voice in your head, there's something about that voice that's trying to get louder to teach you something. Or it's just straight up destructive. I have a voice in my head, and I'm being so real with you all because of my respect for Fryer. I think I'm fat and ugly. I've had this voice since I was a little girl. All the other girls are blonde and they're really pretty. I tried to be blonde for a while. My roots grew out. I was like, I'm just so ugly. I didn't even put my photo on my book. Think of that. I did not put my photo on my book because I didn't want anybody to know what I looked like. So that's a voice in my head. Now then it goes, well, does that voice serve you? And I eventually realized, no. So that one's got to go. However, it could have served me if I wanted to adopt a pen type and be able to write freely without anybody being able to trace it back to who I am. So there's that difference. I hope that helps you out with that. So as our brain is processing these informations and we're chunking it down to make sense of it, we unconsciously put a label on something. So when the pups came in with the bumblebee on her whiskers, I was immediately like, okay, how do I feel in the second? And it was like frustrated. I'm trying to teach to all of you. I'm trying to get to know you better. I'm trying to monitor the comments. And now this freaking dog's bringing in a bumblebee. Well, that label frustration opens that RAS, that reticular activation system. And now I'm looking for everything else that frustrates me. The computer doing all the glitching right now. I'm glad you guys can't see it. It's very annoying. So I'm immediately now in a state of frustration. So then from that state of frustration, I have to do what's called a physiological belief change. That's how you can change this. So you're going to get into this. Okay. So when you notice there's a label that's not serving you, it starts to light up yourself. That's why I said earlier in this, you know, coronavirus, it's not changing who you are. It's just making you more of who you already are. Remember that? Like it's lighting your baggage up. So if I was predisposed because the puppy's frustrating me, and I believe that the puppy's frustrating me is causing this computer to like glitch, and so it's frustrating there, and then I didn't know to scroll down, so that's frustrating. If I really want to own the frustration, can I not find more of it? So when COVID happens, or when some extreme life event happens, you go back to your default state, unless you can change the grooves on the record. Is this all making sense? Because I know we're getting a little nerdy. It's okay, I got you. So what you want to do is you recognize, hey, listen, I'm really frustrated right now. And just like I did, you take a minute, you fix the bumblebee on the whisker, you fix that thought that's coming in, you fix any one of those 2 million bits, and you just simply say, what is that emotion that I want to feel? And for me, it was gratitude and love. I want to have a very grateful conversation with you all. I want you all to know I love you. I'm here for you. I respect what you do as a profession. It's a tough profession. Wow, you guys have the toughest job. So how do I embrace gratitude and love? Well, in my brain, I think, tell me about a time when you were incredibly grateful and you felt incredibly loved. And from there, I'm deactivating the reticular activation system. I'm changing my state. Because when the puppy came in, could you guys not tell that I was a little frustrated for a second? But then I went into a very soft glaze because I started thinking of the times in my past where I was incredibly grateful. All the times where my fiance's taken me out for amazing meals that were not on a cart. And I started to predispose my thoughts on that. Because by changing my state, so my attitude, right, how happy or sad or whatever that emotion is, to a state that serves me. And then from a state that serves me, I can say, now what do I do with that? And that becomes the behavior, which becomes the pattern. Boom. You doing some patterns right now that you're not proud of? It didn't start in that moment. It doesn't start at 5 o'clock when you're looking at that red wine, like, yeah, I'm gonna have a sip of that. It does not start there. It starts throughout the day when you have a thought that comes in where you can't deal with the stress or the negativity or the emotion. You categorize the red wine as a label for relaxation and happiness. Then you're in pursuit of that and you're looking for all these triggers throughout the day of what could make you more relaxed and happy. And now you're living by your impulse. That becomes the behavior, becomes a pattern. And now you are stuck with it unless you know this mental mapping technique. And then you just go and you're like, oh, wine isn't wine. Wine represents happiness and relaxation. Well, what are some ways to have happiness and relaxation better than having alcohol? And many of you might have had an idea already just coming at it. And so whatever that idea was for you, that's how you change it. So think about anytime you're experiencing something that you don't want to feel. Now that you all understand how your brain processes stuff, which is, by the way, is this not powerful? When I figured this out, I was, it was in the hospital again, because yo, live there, it's pretty great. And I couldn't figure out why it was that some patients played video games all day and watched Impractical Jokers, and I wanted to build a business. Like, that just didn't click to me. Like, why, if you're in a hospital, are you going to spend your entire time playing video games? Like, there's so much more to life, right? And it got me really affected. And I used to get so, we call it on your racket, like, what's your story there? And I would be like, they're lazy, they're frustrated, like, they just don't care about their own lives. And I would tell all these stories to myself, not really realizing that stories were projections of myself also. Because wasn't I also trying to build a business because I felt that I was lazy? Yeah, powerful stuff. And so I got really involved in studying psychology and like studying out, not necessarily love her, but not necessarily like the Rachel Hollis version of things, which is like, you can do it, girl. Yay, go team. Like, cool, that's great. But like, what does that teach me? It just, it makes me feel good for about 13 seconds. And then I need to binge watch more of your stuff to get that feeling. How can I take that ownership of it for myself? That's where it goes. So let's do some questions. Because I'm seeing a ton come in and it's getting really, really powerful in this chat. And this is why I love it. Does that voice in your head serve a purpose? Absolutely. Attracting positive partners. I'm struggling finding my partners. I'm assuming you mean business partners. That'd be, you know, more power to you if you meant personal, but that'd be differently worded for me. So attracting positive partners. I'm struggling finding my partners. Okay, you guys are going to get a little bonus Q&A here. And Brian will tell me in the comments when to shut up because I could do this for hours. Okay. Attracting positive partners. I'm struggling finding my partners. I would say you're not struggling. And if I'm wrong, this sometimes this shit hits, right? It's the job of a coach. You got to poke. I've never heard anybody having difficulty attracting a positive partner who loved themselves. Let that sink in. If you know that at your core in your DNA, you're positive, then you're going to go out and you're naturally going to find a bunch of positive friends. If you're struggling inside right now, or if something's in disarray, or there's a lot of negativity in your life, or there's a lot of negativity about your own inward reflections, that tends to be why people start struggling and they go into toxicity. Toxicity is just a symptom of a root cause. And the root cause for most people is they're not showing up how they want to show up in their lives. So they blame the toxic environment because it's easier than addressing the deeper issue. So in another recording, and I can send you all this, if you've texted INSPIRE to 66866, you get this course. And we did it last week, I believe, with the coach in another group of his. And we talked about the three rooted insecurities and fears. And it all comes out, there's three. There's three. Let me help you with that. Every psychologist will tell you, oh, there's a billion. No. You break it down to the core root. There's three. Fear of having less, fear of having loss, or fear of never. So whenever somebody's saying that they're attracting a certain person or a certain partner, it's because there's a deep-rooted fear of less, loss, or never. And I don't know what it is for you. I'm talking on a Facebook Live on a Monday morning, right? So like... We don't do our hair. We don't, you know what I mean? Like, this is just natural, raw conversation. So if you want to type in and you want to share, I'm totally happy to help push you through this. Because for you, the change can happen in probably an instant. And what I would say, if you want a quick exercise rather than explain, you know, the partner side, every night before you go to bed or every morning, preferably every morning now that I think this through a little bit, every morning I want you to write down the five people that day that you want to connect with. Maybe you have a meeting with, or maybe they live in your home, or maybe there's somebody you do not know yet. I have a deck of 52 cards, and I call it my hit deck. And every year I go after one of those 52 people once a week. Whether they get to know me or not, at least I went after them. And before I reach out to every single one of them, I got to activate my RAS, my reticular activation system, and I say, I'm beyond grateful for the opportunity to get to know these people and associate them with my tribe. That's it. And then I reach out, usually on LinkedIn. And I say along the words, like, hey, listen, I'm a fan of yours. I'm grateful for you. here's what I do in my business. And I think that, there could be some synergies between us, and at the very least, there could be a friendship. And now, most people don't respond to that message. I get it. But you know who has? Super Bowl 50 champions. You know who has? Olympian, gold medalists. You know who has? Multi-billionaires. Like self-made, not like daddy gave him that spoon in his mouth. Self-made billionaires. You know who has? People like Coach Fryer. You know who has? Everybody I wrote my book for. So if you're having difficulty attracting the right thing, get it up here in your mind first. What do you love about people? What are you grateful for? Why do you want to have them in your life? Create a list of all the people you think could satisfy that, and then go out, find them, and create it from a place of genuine love and gratitude, and just watch what happens. It is mind-blowing. So I hope that helps you in that thing. Fear of succeeding, then messing it up somehow. Girl, I got you on that. You just hit me in my soul. Okay, fear of succeeding and then messing it up somehow. So the last part's a thought that no longer serves you. How about this? Succeed and then worry about messing it up. Don't worry about stuff that can't happen or nor may not will happen because it's just wasted energy. What I want you to be afraid of is being so successful that you can't mess up. Because aren't there le learnings and having you mess up at something, and then at the end of the day, you're like, wow, I really learned something from that colossal mistake. Yeah. So I'd say be successful and then worry about screwing it up. Same. Yep. I'm loving this chat. You guys are so incredible. I feel very grateful for that. Lauren, we all hear voices. You're known. I don't necessarily know what specific voices. So there's, of course, I worry a little bit about how those voices are affecting you. Definitely. If it's a simple thing like the mindset chatter, it's easy to just say, you guys are faith-based, right? So here's where it goes. And we're going to wrap up because I'm getting the hearts, which makes me think I got to end soon. So here's the thing about faith-based. And this is why I teach these workshops to members of Vistage, right? So, and Vistage, like you have to have a minimum around 5 million plus to get in. And so I fly all over the country teaching this to EO, Vistage, YPO. I'm endorsed by speakers bureaus for this stuff. I mean, so like you get some premium content here. And here's what I'm going to say to you. Creating valuable content, fear of success, fear of messing it up. We all do this. I've met some of the most powerful people in the world, and they have a voice in their head that they're not proud of. Now, so how do you decide which voice to go with? Because that's horrifying. Let me help you. How we are loving this, Kaylin. I love you too. So how do you decide what voice to go with? Faith-based people, you ready? I'm gonna throw the book at you. You choose your amen. I know that confuses some of us. If I'm in a situation where I feel very insecure about how I look, which that's my insecurity, just owning it. I said it earlier, just re-emphasizing the point. We're in a group of women. When I say I don't look good enough for a live video, or I'm afraid to give this proposal to this CEO to speak and teach his group, and I worry that how I outwardly reflect doesn't match my internal dialogue, I choose my amen. Now, how many times has the devil said something to you and you're like, no, devil, I'm not going with that today. I'm going with what Jesus wants. I'm going with God wants. That's great, devil. You have your opinion. You have your demons that they're coming at me. And I'm not choosing you today, devil. No. I'm choosing my God. I'm choosing my Jesus. I'm choosing my amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do that with your thoughts. You choose your amen. And I can do that easily. I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to be seen today. It's really frustrating. And then you remember, choose your amen. No, devil, that's you trying to keep me from my potential. How I look is not going to affect my potential on this planet. How I look is not going to affect the impact I am making. I'm going to pray, get centered. I'm going to choose the amen that serves me. And the amen that serves me is getting over the lies in my head and going for what the bigger purpose is. Who is at risk because you played small in life? That one hit a couple of you. Who is at risk because you played small in life? Who is at risk because you didn't choose your correct amen? Who is at risk because you didn't choose your thought? And I'll tell you what, when I had that realization, because the thing is who's at risk? None of you would have known who I was or learned from this. My fiance probably wouldn't have proposed if I didn't figure this out. You know, how to love yourself and also have that dialogue. You know, I'd never be speaking at all these bureaus. I'd never be traveling the country. I never would have written a book. People are asking for a second book. I have a text opt-in number because when I have my moments of doubt and my moments of security, I choose my amen. And that's what I want you all to walk away from this. I don't know what your demons are. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I can guess. You know, I've done this with thousands of people. Like I pick up on a couple of patterns here and there. And so that would be the advice I have. If you're struggling with this concept, you know, of 2 million bits per information per second, from there, your VACOG, your VACOG, distorts, generalizes, or deletes. You then create an internal representation, also known as a label, that then creates a state change, physiology, behavior, and habitual change. If that's too much for you, cool, I get it. It's too much for me too. Choose your amen. Because it's not what do you need to learn today, it's what thoughts serve you that you can go out and serve others with. So if you guys have any questions, I'm here for you. I went about 5 minutes over. But yeah, I'm beyond grateful for the opportunity to help. Again, if you guys see the number, it's Inspire to 66866. And you get messages like this every week. Lately, apparently they're good. So people have been asking for more than once a week, but for now, nope, once a week. And you'll get just started. And they do tend to have a pretty, you'll watch this. I don't outright say faith-based, but as you strip away the messages, you realize this is like very faith-based. for some other people, like I keep it pretty linear, but you strip it away and it gets pretty deep. So hopefully that helps you out. If you have any questions, I'll just kind of sit here with the pups and the coffee for a minute and make sure I can answer any. Because I don't, the last thing I want is for you guys to log off and be like, I had this question, but I was afraid to ask. I always say, ask the thing you're most reluctant to ask, because that brings us back to center. So we'll sit with that for a second. Coach, hey, how are you? Glad you guys enjoyed this. And I don't see any questions coming in, so I'm gonna go ahead, I'm gonna log off. But again, just thank you guys so much for being here, for showing up, for playing full out. You know, showing up on a webinar is the same as showing up in life. And for those of you who are super engaged and you're feeling it and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna learn, you're gonna be just fine. You're gonna be just fine. You're gonna be just fine. And you are a change that people needed to see in the world. So good for you. Yes, Brittany, thank you. Inspire, I can type it in the comments. Inspire to 66866. Next is 6866. Yes. And that keyword changes like weekly. So if you don't do it, sorry. All right. Well, Julie, how do I overcome the mental block of creating content? Oh, Julie. Okay, great question. Great question. I did not see that. Julie, is that the actual question? Like worded perfectly in your representation of the question? Okay, so I'm assuming it is, because I didn't see a lag there. So how do I overcome the mental block of creating content? So here's the creative process. This is actually fascinating. Creative process is information gather, information gather, information gather, information gather, information gather, get frustrated, do nothing, work really hard, deadline. So it goes really quickly, from that perspective. How do I build belief in myself and overcome the fear of succeeding even though it would fall apart? Yeah. Okay, cool. Great question, Ashley. So let's get back to the creative mental block. I would say you're not living from a place, you need to change the state. Remember we talked about the mental map, and then you get to that place where you create a label. Your label is mental block. When you have a label of I have a mental block, it changes your state, lack of creativity and productivity, which affects your physiology, behavior. You cannot write content. So what I would say is change that internal representation. Shut your eyes right now. We're just live. It's group coaching, group therapy, whatever people call it. So what I want you to do is, Julie, who's the question that came? I think it's a Julie. Yeah, Julie asks. Okay, so Julie, here's what you do. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Just listen to my voice. Close your eyes. Tell me about a time when you created something that was absolutely spectacular, something that really helped somebody else, a piece of writing that really helped somebody else, a blog, whatever that thing is for you, however you create content. Think about a time in your life when you created the best content possible. And something's going to trigger for you. And if you have a difficult time with this, just simply say, and it sounds funny, but just simply say, self, literally say the word self. Nobody knows, like we can't see you. Say, self, tell me about a time when I created content that was spectacular. And it's going to light something up in you. You're probably going to feel it right below your stomach or in your heart. From that, say, self, what do I need to write today? And something's going to trigger. It'll be a title, it'll be a couple words, and that'll change the state enough to get over the label of that unconscious block, because it's fairly easy. And if all of that fails, which it has before, but if this is a super deep-rooted issue and that failed you completely, then what I want you to do is I want you to say, who do I love, trust, respect, and admire that I want to be like, and go consume 45 minutes of their content, and then say, now how can I do this for myself? And it'll click like that. Writer's block doesn't exist. It's just a predisposed belief pattern. And it usually comes from you're having a really tough time and it's showing up in your writing. So if you say, what was the last time I did something really incredible I was proud of? Okay, unconscious self, how do I do that? And it's gonna click. Thanks, I like being told I'm amazing. I struggle with attracting positive people. Yep, we did mention that a little bit. When it comes to attracting positive people, that's where I went into the 52 deck of cards. You're really struggling with a toxic environment or attracting the right people. I need you to create a list of all the people that you want to attract and why you think it is that they're great. So I have something called an MVP, Master Vision Plan, write it out every year. And there's always the list of people that some of them don't know me. But it says, I want to get to know this person because of this quality that they have. And so then I review that. And when I go to reach out to them, it clicks better. So it's intentional going after these people. You can't necessarily attract positivity. You can see them more positively, but I want you to proactively go after that person. And they may not know who you are. Remember, I attracted that Super Bowl 50 champ, Ryan Harris. I got billionaire Jeff Hoffman on my line now. I got Coach Fryer on my line now. I'm attracting these people, not necessarily because I'm just being this wonderful little fairy chick. Then the magic manifestation is going to come to my unconscious. No, 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 boo-boo. We don't play that game. I go, hey, here's the people I most want to be like. Here's what they can teach me as a place of gratitude and happiness for getting to have them in my life. I'm going to reach out with that mindset. Now, it doesn't always work. I've been rejected. It kind of hurts. I lie. I had a guy that I thought would want to be on my bandwagon and do a podcast with me. He turned me down yesterday. I cried. and also, I'm not choosing that I meant. I'm choosing the people like Coach Fryer, the people like Jeff Hoffman. I know Jim Hoffman too. I'm choosing people that are meant to be on my path. And if you reject me or you turn me down or I can't attract you into my orb, okay, boo-boo, there's another one. That's not my amen today. So I hope that helps with the choosing of the positive people. How do I push past pain when cystic fibrosis acts up? Well, so for me, not totally relevant, but maybe you'll appreciate this. We're going to get real. I love this question. Okay, so hold on. I'm looking at my chest for a reason. I don't know if you guys can see that, but that's my port. And what's fun about a port is every 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, they take a 3/4-long inch needle. And it's bent like that with that angle. I actually practiced doing that just for this demonstration in speeches. So that angle. And there's a bubble there. It's like a marble with a metal back top. And so they stick this 3/4-inch needle straight into the back till they hit that bubble. And then they can inject medicine, draw blood, all that fantastic stuff. And that is not the least painful thing I've experienced, right? It's pretty gnarly. It helps to take a deep breath. Right when the needle goes in, it's like, because you know it's going to happen. And also, this is some Kaylin shit. I think about how much that nurse loves me in that moment. Nobody's trying to hurt me. Like, so why hurt myself? You know, there's a part of our unconscious that's unnecessary pain. And pain's derived for a very important reason, right? We all want, we need pain. If we didn't need pain, there'd be no growth. But thinking about how much that nurse loves me and how she doesn't want to hurt me helps. I've also studied at length something called hypnotherapy. And there's some really great guided hypnosis sessions that if you're experiencing pain, I've done it for a couple of clients. You know, it's I don't do a lot of coaching anymore. I mostly speak and write. But with that as a tool in my tool belt, I can send you a recording. There was a guy who, I kid you not, I can't even believe this. He had surgery. He had pins in his legs. He had 21 pins in his legs and 5 stitches. And he was in serious pain. He took his pain pills, goes home, calls me the next day, and he goes, Kaylin, I need the help. And he sent me a photo of his leg. And I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. But you can't go into that. You got to be like, this is going to work. I got that thing for you. So masked confidence, if you will, choose the men. And I did a 15-minute session with him. The pain was completely gone. Completely gone. I don't even believe it. I still think he's lying to me. But that just...